But this time you're going to explore the angels through the sanctuary, just to be able to feel that this is very solid. Because what I understand is the sanctuary is about the plan of redemption is all revealed in the sanctuary. And all who study the sanctuary will basically know God's outline on how they are going to be saved. And so this is very important that everyone understand the sanctuary. For the sanctuary is gospel in prison. The sanctuary is the gospel compacted. Desire of Ages, page 78, Sister White says that when Jesus Christ at age 12 went to the sanctuary and the normal procedures were going on in the sanctuary, he saw the lamb being slain. He saw the priest doing their normal sacrificial ordinances. And then Sister White says he was actually caught with the happenings on the scene, and he saw every act neat with his life. So when we are looking at the sanctuary, we are looking at the life of Jesus Christ. We are looking at what transpired in his life, and we are looking at what we must be in order to be able to see Jesus Christ. Now, we are looking at the gospel in the sanctuary, and basically we are studying steps to the Father. Now, why am I saying steps to the Father? I'm saying steps to the Father because when you look at the sanctuary, you realize that the sinner is at the camp, and the Father, right now as we speak, is in the most holy place. Now, the altar of burnt offering is the center of the plan of salvation in the outer court. Then in the most holy place is the Ark of the Covenant, which is the center of the plan of salvation in heaven. Right now, the Father is in the most holy place. And the sinner is at the camp, and the sinner needs an experience by faith to be able to be accepted by the Father. Now, what has separated the Father and man at the camp? It is sin. The Bible says, your sins have separated you from me. So there must be a removal of sin, a full covering of sin, and a removal of sin for the sinner to be reconciled to God. And this is the mystery that the sanctuary solves, how the sinner is reunited with the Holy Father. Reason being, the Bible says that make peace with all brethren, holiness without which no man can see God. So we have a holy God whom we need to see, and here I am with a sinful man. God has offered a solution that can help me and you be reunited to him. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5 says, who served unto the example and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Then Moses was told, for see, he that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mountains. It was instructed that the sanctuary which was to be made were according to the pattern that was showed him on the mount. Everything was to represent just what was shown in the mountain. Chapter 77, verse 13 of Psalms says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? So if you go to the sanctuary, you have a way. That way, which is the plan of salvation. Now, in Great Controversy 423, paragraph 1, the light from the sanctuary illumined the past, the present, and the future. They knew that God had led them by an erring providence. So by studying the sanctuary, the Israelites understood the past, the present, the future. The end time, modern Israel will understand the past, the present, and the future by studying the sanctuary. But that's not enough. It says Christ was the foundation of the Jewish economy. The whole system of types and symbols was a compacted prophecy of the gospel. So the sanctuary was a compacted prophecy of the gospel, a presentation in which were bound up the promises of redemption. So in studying the sanctuary, we are not simply studying to have a knowledge of furnitures, the priestly work of Aaron and his sons, typifying Jesus Christ, and perhaps the sacrifices and the feasts we are studying so that we may understand, have an experience of what it takes to receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is the only righteousness that will make a way for us to heaven. Now, let's begin understanding what it means to reunite with God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, a common verse, of course, "For there is one God." Now, what I want you to realize is there is a being, an order of being, a divine being already mentioned, one God. And it says, and one mediator. That's the second being in the same first order of being, divine being, the Father, the mediator, which is the Son, and then there is man. So that is the third order mentioned. I mean, the second order mentioned there, but really the third, because we have the Father and the Son, we have the angels, then we have men. But we are sinners and we need to be reunited. And we want to be reunited with the Father, who is the one true God. And how that is done is through the man Jesus Christ. Why the man Jesus Christ? Because there was never high priest who was not a man. And so for Christ to become high priest, he had to take the nature of fallen Adam so that he could meet me on my own ground, so that, as it's written in Hebrews chapter 2, he was to take the nature of his brethren. Now, Hebrews chapter 4 or 7 verse 24 says, "But this man," again, not just any other person, that's Jesus Christ, "because he continued ever at an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God." Now, I want you to realize you're looking at the steps towards the Father, and we want to come to God. But how do we come to God? It's through Jesus Christ. It's through this man. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come and take this human nature, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. But how is this intercession made is important. How does Christ intercede for us? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to pray, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Who is he that condemneth?" Verse 34, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, it is he that was risen, who even is on the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So Christ is the link between the sinner from the camp to the Father who sits in the sanctuary. Okay, in the holy place, the Father was sitting upon the table of shewbread. In the most holy place, the Father sits upon the mercy seat, which is upon the Ark of Covenant. Realize, the table of shewbread represents the word of God, which shows the authority and the foundation of the kingdom of God is his word. In the most holy place, the Father sits upon his law, which is also a symbol of his word and his character, which is again the authority and the foundation of his government. But now, how can an erring man be reunited with a holy God? Because the Bible says for us to see God, we must be perfect. According to Matthew 8, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father, who in heaven is also perfect." Now, it is important for us to realize that the Bible, the sanctuary, will help us understand that it is through Christ that erring man is united to a holy Father. Christ is the channel. There is no other channel. There is one mediator between man and God. Is not any other person but the man Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says he's the only way to the Father. But now the question is, when you get into the sanctuary, there are few things that you'll be able to see in the sanctuary. Now, when you get to the sanctuary, you'll realize that instantly as you go into the sanctuary, before you enter, you come to the outer court. And when you come to the outer court, you'll see something interesting. There is a veil And that veil has four colors. There is blue, there is scarlet, there is the white linen, and then there is the purple. All resembling, or rather, all which are standing for what I would call Christ's attributes, different attributes, character attributes of Christ. The royal priesthood of Christ, red standing for the atoning blood of Christ that is able to cleanse us from all sin. Blue standing for Christ's faithfulness to keep the law and giving us the strength to also keep the law. Purple standing for his royalty as the Son of God. White standing for his righteousness, which he also gives to us. That veil represents Jesus Christ. And so what the sinner sees immediately when he enters the outer court and interacts with the priests at the altar of burnt offerings, because that's the farthest the sinner could go. And the rest of the journey was completed with the priests and the high priest. Mark my words. It is Aaron and his sons that completed the journey with the blood. The sinner could not go beyond that. He was to follow the priests and the high priest by faith. The priest was to continue with the blood to the holy and to the most holy. But when the sinner looked at the veil, he saw Jesus Christ typified by the veil. And upon the veil were actually what was called parchments, or embroidery of angels done in a golden color. That's interesting for me. Why? Because since I was a Seventh-day Adventist, the sanctuary has been taught, but angelic ministration and why embroidery of angels is shown in the sanctuary was never taught to me. Now, look at what happens. When Jacob sees in a vision or in a dream, the plan of salvation, this is what God shows him. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth. How is the earth represented in the sanctuary? The earth is represented by the outer court. And the top of it reached to heaven. How is heaven represented in the entire plan of salvation? It is represented by the two courts, the holy and the most holy, for all those are in heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. So angels were both having access to the earth and they were also having access to heaven. Also notice the ladder was able to come to earth and to reach to heaven. So both the ladder and the angel were connecting links, but then we need to realize the angels are on the ladder. So that means there is only one link. Yet that link, Jesus Christ, has chosen to use angels to minister to us who are heirs of salvation. We need to understand that. Okay, let me make this a little bit clear, because the Bible says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. So what that means is the one who was above the ladder was the Father. So if the Father was on the top of the ladder, then we are seeing the sanctuary typified in that vision, because the Father sits in the most holy and the Son comes out of the sanctuary to the earth and meets us where we are, and he chooses to reunite us. By a perfect life, he is ascending back to the Father, he is glorified, he is anointed, he sent his spirit, and he continues to intercede for us. But then, since 1844, he has been in the most holy place. And we know that he says that he will not leave the most holy place until the atonement is over. He still ministers to us through his angels. He has not left us without the ministry of angels. Okay, look at the first great thought that is brought to us in the book of John, chapter number 1, verse 51, concerning angels. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and angels of God ascending and descending upon, guess what? The Son of Man. Every time you see angels connected with Jesus Christ, there is a huge chunk of his humanity being mixed in there. And we need to be able to appreciate that. Because I said before that the priesthood work of Jesus Christ could not be accomplished except Christ took human nature. That's why he had to come. If Christ never came, he would not be a perfect high priest for us. He would not be a perfect high priest for us if he never came down here. And that is why he said he was anointed to become a high priest in the book of Hebrews, I think chapter 5, verse 5. Okay, Christ is the ladder that Jacob saw, and the base was resting on the earth, and the top reaching to the utmost gate of heaven and to the very threshold of glory. If that ladder had failed in a single step in reaching the earth, we should have been lost. But Christ reaches us where we are. He took our own nature and overcame, that we, through taking his nature, we might overcome. Made in likeness of sinful flesh, he lived a sinless life. Now, by his divinity, he lays hold upon the throne of heaven, while by his humanity, he reaches us. He bids us by faith in him to attain the glory of the character of God. Therefore, we are perfect, even as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, through Christ, we have a constant communication with the Father. Through Christ, we have a constant communication with the Father. So Christ is the link that connects us to the Father. It continues to say, through this open door, we may receive the glories of the celestial world and may estimate the superiority of the heavenly attraction as compared with the earthly. Okay, let's look at what happens when Christ went to heaven. And let's look what happens in the sanctuary. Seeing we are seeing Christ as the ladder, as the only mediator, and we want to see how angels are involved in helping to help humanity come into a close union, a perfect close union with the Father. Leviticus chapter 8 verse 30 says, and Moses took of the anointing oil and the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron, who was the high priest, and upon his garments. So when he sprinkled it upon Aaron, the high priest, it went to his garments, and upon his sons, and upon his sons' garment with him, and he sanctified Aaron and his garments, and his sons and his garments with him. And we know that Aaron typified Jesus Christ. But we also know that Aaron had those who were assisting him in the work. There is a work that these ordinary priests could not do. They could not officiate on the Day of Atonement. But we know that they assisted Aaron on the daily sacrificial ordinances during the year. Now we'll be able to see how that works in the sanctuary when we are talking about Jesus Christ, and we are talking about angels, and we are talking about you and me called into the ministry of reconciliation according to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Because the Bible says we are all called into the ministry of reconciliation, but it also says angels are ministering spirits. They have been sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. The priests were also sent that they may be ministers to all who had come into the sanctuary seeking for salvation. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 30 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with the power, who went about doing good and healing. How did Jesus Christ go about doing good and healing? While he was down here on earth, we understand that Christ did all miracles through the ministration of angels. According to Sister White in Signs of the Times, all these miracles were done through the ministration of angels. Verse 38 of John says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, reason being, Jesus was not yet glorified. Acts chapter 2, verse 33 says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he shed forth this which you now see and hear. What were they seeing? What were they hearing? That the Bible says that he has shed forth. Now Christ, we know that being cumbered with humanity, he could not be in every place personally. Therefore, it was altogether for the advantage that he should leave them and go to his Father and send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what Christ had shed forth that the disciples might receive. That's the Spirit that we are seeing is typified by the oil which is poured upon Aaron. And we'll find in the sanctuary that that oil did not only anoint Aaron, but anointed his son and flew to his garments all the way to his toe. Every person who enters into the ministry of reconciliation receives or partakes of the same Spirit, the same oil. Every person who enters into the sanctuary experience to serve receives of the same oil, the same Spirit, which God has given to his Son without measure. And so continuing to study down, we'll realize something really interesting. I said, when you enter the sanctuary, what you see at an instant is the veil. The sinner cannot go beyond the veil. And so he must learn lessons by seeing the veil. Perhaps he could not clearly see the candlestick and the table of shewbread. He knew they were there because they understood the sanctuary. They made the sanctuary. Moses gave them the outline of the sanctuary. But he could not visibly sometimes see everything in the sanctuary. But he saw the veil. And the Bible says, moreover, thou shalt make a tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, of blue and of purple and of scarlet. Okay, now this says, with cherubims of cunning works, thou shalt make them. If you study deeply, you realize they were embroidery of gold. Why gold? Did you study Revelation chapter 18? And the Bible says that angel, there will be an angel that will descend from heaven, and its glory will fill the earth. And fallen angels, the righteous angels, the pure holy angels that God used, the omnipotent holy angels from heaven sent by the Father has shed upon them the glory which is given to them through the Son. Now, what happens is the angels are represented with golden embroidery, but what the sinner can see outside is brassen. But when you enter into the holy place, you see golden table of shewbread, golden altar of incense, golden candlestick. But he's not allowed to go in there, but he can see angels with golden embroidery. If you go to the most holy place, angels are pure gold. Why? Because they reflect perfectly the character of Jesus Christ. Because they had been tried and they had been tested when the devil chose to break the order of heaven and misrepresent God and his character. They stood faithful, and having victory, they become recipients of the same glory and character of God. Now, what happens is, this is what they show to us. This is what they teach us. This is what they represent to us. They are good examples of victory. Okay, let's see what happens. Verse 30 says, I've simply jumped a few verses. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was shown thee on the mount. And then it says in verse 31, and thou shalt make a veil of blue and of purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning works. With cherubims shall it be made. All right? Okay. And thou shalt hang it upon the four pillars of sheeting wood overlaid with gold. And their hook shall be, and their hook shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver, and thou shalt hang up the veil under the touches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And then it continues, but what I want us to see is the embroidery of angels upon that veil, those patches of angels. Okay, look at Ezekiel chapter 41, verse 25. Of course, showing a different scenario, but almost the same thing. And there were made on them, on the doors of the temple, cherubims and palm trees. Palm trees, they represent uprightness. They represent righteousness, because palm is a tree that grows with order. It grows with what I would call, it is a tree that many people love. Where it's grown is places with a lot of honor and something like that. What I understood from my studies is that, and okay, I can be corrected, is that palm trees, they represent uprightness. And we'll be able to see that, like as was made upon the walls. And there were thick planks on the face of the porch without. Now, you're able to understand that when you just enter the sanctuary, you are seeing the palm trees, and you are seeing, let's say you're seeing, this is the case of Ezekiel, you are seeing angels. And did you know that actually angels, they are protecting every person that enters into the sanctuary? Those who enter into the sanctuary, those who are ministers of God, represented by the golden candlesticks, they have the angelic ministration. The Bible says they will protect you, that you dash your foot not upon a stone or a rock. The Bible says they make a hedge round about those who fear God. Those who enter into the sanctuary experience, when you pray the altar of burnt incense, it is represented to us in the book Early Writings as angels gathering to make a hedge round about them. Those praying, agonizing saints in the last days, they will be having a double ministration of angels, while the careless will be having angels that minister to them taken away from them. And that shows us those who enter the sanctuary, they are praying, the altar of burnt incense. They have learned what it means to study God's word. Angels are there. We were studying today in our Bible study class in the morning, and we realized that while Miller was studying his Bible, angels were by his side to teach him and to direct him to truth. That's a great controversy. Or Spiritual Prophecy, Volume 4, the chapter must be William Miller, the chapter on Miller. Interesting that those who study the word of God, angels will be there surrounding them. So when you enter into the services in the holy place and in the most holy place experience, you experience the ministration of angels. Angels make a hedge round about you. Okay, we need to understand this a little bit as we enter into the sanctuary. Look at what Ellen White says, interestingly. She says, the Father's presence encircled Christ, and nothing failed him that which infinite love permitted for the blessings of the world. But that which infinite love permitted for the blessings of the world. Here was his source of comfort, and it is for us. He who was imbued with the Spirit of Christ abides in Christ. The blow that is aimed at him falls upon the Savior. So everyone who enters in the sanctuary have the veil which represents the flesh of Jesus Christ. Every blow thrown at him falls upon the Savior. You need to see that. Who surrounds him with his presence? Every minister, every prayerful saint, every child of God who studies the word of God, those who enter into the sanctuary, they have Jesus Christ protecting them. And then we also have, I'm a bit confused there, but okay. It says the blow that is aimed at him, at you and me, when we enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ in the sanctuary, that blow that is aimed at you or me by the devil, what does it do? It falls upon the Savior, his flesh, his body. Who surrounds him with his presence? And how does Christ surround us with his presence? Seeing that Christ is in heaven, we need to understand. It continues to say, whatever comes to him comes from Christ. Okay, his defense, he has no defense to resist evil, for Christ is his defense. Nothing can touch him except by our Lord's permission. And all things that are permitted work together for the good of them that love God. So we have Christ, who is actually protecting us, but how? Through the ministration of angels. So you need to understand that the sanctuary clearly explains the ministration of angels. And those who do not understand or do not see the ministration of angels in the sanctuary probably will not understand better or perfectly how God, while physically with his Son in heaven, his Son interceding for us, is certainly working to protect us, to direct us, and to help us do his work down here. So you'll be able to understand certain difficult quotes to you in the spirit of prophecy, like how Christ walks beside a converser unseen. It is through his spirit that is actually as filled his angels that actually protects his ministers, those who have entered into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Many things begin to become really simple in the writings of Ellen White and in the Bible in regard to how God works. Okay, so look at this. I want to say something really important, because sometimes we forget certain things when we talk about angels. But look at this. According to Hebrews 10 verse 20, we see that the veil is symbolic of the flesh of Jesus. The sins of the world then were transferred to the veil. And the veil was a carrier of that blood. These are just notes that are added there. Why then are angels embroidered there? It is not just ministering to the saints, but also beholding it. Angels behold it. It guards them from apostasy. And even also the unfallen ones, that is why Peter says they look intently to these things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Okay, so let's look at a few of these so that you may be able to understand what I'm talking about. Ellen White says, to the angels and to the unfallen one, the cry is finished on the cross had a deep significance. It was for them, as well as for us, that the great work of redemption had been accomplished. They with us share the fruit of Christ's victory. The start of Ages 5:78. That's a standard book in Seventh-day Adventism. Not until the death of Christ was the character of Satan clearly revealed. Look at this. To the angels or to the unfallen world. So they also learn. When they behold the veil, they behold what Christ did, not only for us, but for them. Okay, look at what happens there. Satan saw that his disguise was torn away. His administration was laid open before the unfallen angels and before the heavenly universe. The last link of sympathy between Satan and the heavenly world was broken. No angel could sympathize with them anymore. Angels, by looking at the cross, looking at the body of Jesus Christ hanging there, looking at him bearing the sins of humanity, understood and made a decision. The last link of sympathy between Satan and the heavenly world was broken. The significance of the death of Christ will be seen by saints and by angels. The angels ascribe honor and glory to Christ, for even they are not secure except by looking to the sufferings of the Son of God. It is through the efficacy of the cross that the angels of heaven are guarded from apostasy. Without the cross, there would be no more secure against evil than were the angels before the fall of Satan. So when you're looking at angels, they are shown in the plan of redemption given to us from the script of Moses in the book of Genesis chapter 28, we are shown angels upon the ladder. And who is the ladder? The man Jesus Christ. In the sanctuary, we are shown angels upon the veil. And who is the veil? The man Jesus Christ. To John, who is the writer of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and we know is the revelator, it is given to us a glorious gospel, the gospel of angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I think it's beautiful for us to understand that the language implied by John in 1 verse 51, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 1, and the same language applied by Moses in the vision of Jacob is a sanctuary language, a language that teaches us that angels are ministers sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. And yet how? Angels cannot minister to us, for they cannot impart to us what they have not received. They must have first understood very well what it means to have victory. And that is what we are being shown here, that it is not only us for which reason Christ died, but also that the death of Christ at the cross gives the angel, the efficacy of the cross gives the angels the power to be guarded from apostasy. And without the cross, they would be no more secure against the evil than were the angels before the fall of Satan. Not only man, but angels will ascribe honor and glory to the Redeemer. That's Jesus Christ. For even they are secure only through the sufferings of the Son of God. It is through the efficacy of the cross that the inhabitants of the unfallen world are also guarded from apostasy. It's important to realize that. Okay, look at this. Not only those that are washed by the blood of Christ, but also the holy angels are drawn to him by his crowning act of giving his life for the sins of the world. They are also drawn to Christ. And remember, we are talking about they can only draw us to Christ if they are drawn to Christ. The Bible says, if I, Christ, be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If you read other versions, it says, I will draw all men and angels unto myself. And so angels can help us overcome sin, help us perfect character, because they understand, because their character is perfected, because they have also been drawn to Christ. Now, as I bring this to an end, there are a lot of ways in which this is shown in the sanctuary. And I know that Brother Daniel has talked about this. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. Why? But speak a word only. That's the power of the word. And my servant shall be healed, for I am a man under authority. The authority is under here is that he is a man. He represents Jesus Christ and is under authority because Christ is under the authority of the Father. But he's having soldiers, and Christ also have soldiers, which are the angels. So the Father, the Son, the angels. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard this, he say, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Why? Israel did not understand the glorious gospel. And that is why when John begins to write, he says, he brings in the aspect of Jesus Christ interacting with Nathanael, having seen Nathanael and said that indeed this is a true Israel. Under the tree, Jesus begins by saying, if heavens will open, you'll see the Son of Man and angels ascending and descending before him. These are truth that the Israelites. Okay, so the centurion understood that angels could be sent, but with what? With the word of God. It is only with the word of God that the angels could be sent to be able to reach out to the sick son, the sick servant, Okay. So I think this is really beautiful, and I would want to just stop there, and maybe tomorrow we could look further into this. And what I could do is I could pray at this point, and then I could look at the second part of that, because this is really large, tomorrow, because our time is over. And I hope that the Lord will continue to bless us as we continue to study this.